Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 11th verse of that chapter. And we'll read to the end of the chapter and then down through the second verse of the 6th chapter. So as we move forwards through this beautiful book, we need to fully understand what the Lord is preparing us for. Revelation chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. They're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, said, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto them that sitteth upon the throne, and upon and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him, and a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. We're going to end a reading with that scripture verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you today that we can come, and I thank you for the folks that you've brought in today to hear your precious word. Let these words touch every one of our hearts. Open our hearts and our minds up unto you. We pray that your spirit is present today, because without your spirit here, there will be no learning. There will be no advantage to reading your word. We must have the Spirit of God present to teach us your precious word. The Spirit that lives within every one of us. But when you come in a special power, Father, when one or when two or more are gathered, you'll come, and you come to bless us with a special blessing. We're to come together. We're to study your word. And I thank and praise you, Father, for these folks. And just help us, guide us, lead us into your word. Bring those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. Bring them today. Don't let them go one day or one more step without saying yes to you, because today is the day of salvation, and today may be the very last opportunity that one has to be born again. So please bring them to the cross where your Son Jesus died, that they will recognize there is forgiveness of their sins there, a need that they have. Please, Lord. Guide and lead us now through your word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we spoke last week, you're going to find many times in this text, in this scripture, that John makes those words. He makes them very clear. He says, I saw and I heard. There's no question that John is an eyewitness to what's going on here, and he is reporting these wonderful words to us. I saw is 44 times, I heard is 27 times, and this event brings John to a special attention. It draws him to what's being said, and as these words are spoken, we find that we have gained in number and in group, because I heard and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, to a mathematician, that would be a joy to figure out what that number is, but it's beyond our thought. It's beyond what we can understand. And so we're going to go back and read a couple of verses of Scripture, because we need to take a look at the intervention here of the angels as they're kind of coming into the picture. And so let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going from 2 Thessalonians to Hebrews. There we go. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the 16th verse. Now, we've got the opportunity of angels, and we also have the presence of our Lord Jesus here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Right there we have the full schedule of our Lord Jesus. He was born of the Virgin. He came in the flesh. He justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and he was received back up into glory. So we've got his schedule. Now let's go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. "And to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into." This past week, this past Friday night, early Saturday morning, one of our presidents has died. And in that death, President Bush, in that death brought a cartoonist out that even used a cartoon back in Barbara's day when Barbara died 8 months ago. And the first cartoon that he made was Barbara being joined with the child that died at a very early age. Very touching picture. She was seated in bed, and here was the child, and she could see the child now. And we know that when we're born again, I have a sister that died before birth. I'll get to see her. I've never seen her. I look forward to it. But only born again believers are going to have that opportunity. And so I'm not here to discuss whether our president and his wife was saved or not. What I'm here to discuss and talk about is the thought that the world has about angels. Because Barbara, sitting in this cartoon, had wings. She's an angel now, you see. That's the way the world portrays our passing from this life to the next. We become an angel. Now, I believe you folks all know that that is very, very contrary to the Word of God. But that's the concept that the world has. And then when President Bush died, then he repeated it. This time, we've got a B-2 bomber back here. That's how he got to heaven, you know. He flew up. And then we've got the three Bushes, the child and Barbara and President Bush, all hand in hand, stand on a cloud. And his comment was, they ask him, you know, so how do you come up with these things, you know, the interviewer did. And says, well, I've just lost my parents this last year, and I believe that this is the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to be. Angels delight in serving the Lord. Angels are there, yes, to serve the heirs of salvation. They were sent down to deliver Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They are there not only to bring joy and delight and praise unto God, but also they are there for the service of those that are saved, the heirs of salvation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. I want you to see that this isn't just my imagination. This isn't just my thought. This is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Hebrews 1, 14. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? It's right there. It's right there. And this is something that's not going to end with this life. This is something that's going to continue through eternity. It's going to continue in glory all the same. The number of these angels is great. What a way to explain that it is so unlimited in number. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. All at the hand of God for His purpose. Many times they come to assist us. Many times they come to help us in some way or another. But it is not upon our request. It's upon our Lord's direction. It's Him sending. Our Lord and Savior sends these messengers, sends these spirits down to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to assist us in many ways. And we never know even when it could be an angel unawares. We never know. But it is not at our calling. If you have used the term in the past that I have a guardian angel, I ask you to please stop doing that, because yes, you may have an angel that's guarded you, but it is not your specific special angel that you have the use of. And so please understand that. And we have quite a picture here. And let's look at this picture just a little bit. We have the Lamb of God slain. In other words, the witness of the salvation that He has purchased for us on the cross. We see the nail-scarred hands. We see the side that's pierced. We see clear evidence that this is the Lamb of God that gave His life for us. And those wounds, those scars, we will forever see. So we have Him. We have our God, the Lamb of God, in the center. Around the throne are the living beings and the redeemed ones, the born-again church. The outer circle is made up of these angels, of which the number is so great that it can't even be counted. Angels are present at this glorious meeting. And it is a glorious meeting. And the words that are spoken we see here in the 12th verse. With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. They are there for His purpose, for His use, for whatever that may be. But there is something that they are always doing, and that is proclaiming, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Do you realize that the angels can say those words? but they have not experienced what you and I have experienced if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Those angels that have fallen are going to go to the hellfires, spend eternity there. There is no salvation for a fallen angel. None. No opportunity, no salvation. So the angels that are serving are not redeemed angels. They're the angels that have stayed true to the Lord. And so they have forever been lifting up His name, praising His name. But the joy of salvation that comes into our hearts is something the angels can never experience, because they have never had that opportunity, nor do they need it. They're special creatures of God, ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, as we've read. Jesus died for us, not for the fallen angels. What a joy. We know that the beasts and the elders, the angels, say with a loud voice and proclaim, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." But it doesn't stop there. It goes on with verse 13. The whole creation breaks out in rejoicing. Every creature which is in heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne." That sitteth upon the throne. And the four beasts said, "Amen. Amen. So be it. So be it." They confirmed it. But the praise never ends. The Lamb that is slain is praised, is adorned, because the Lamb redeemed us through His own blood. When the words came forth, "It is finished," the only thing that's left to be said is, "Yes, I will accept that gift of salvation." Redeemed is a whosoever will. Many believe that there are just a few that are chosen, and they're the only ones that can be saved, and no matter what, you're going to be saved. But again, that's contrary to the Word of God. Whosoever will, please come. Please accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And yes, He is worthy to be praised. Things today are so corrupt and so wicked in the church. The public church, not the true church, but the public church, what you see really everywhere today, is said to be spewed out. "Be vomited up," saith the Lord. We find that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. Instead of the church following and abiding in the Word of God, they have taken and chosen to follow the word of man. We need to know, we need to see, that if we reject John chapter 3, verse 16, we will own and possess Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. Don't we love the old King James Bible? John 3:16. Let's go back to John 3:16 and read what is there for you and for me if you'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus. One that you know that you can quote. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that's your choice, to follow the church of the world, the public church, so to speak, and be spewed out of the Lord, be cast away. And we find that today is so evident. There are so few places that gather, that really are called the true church. And the true church is only where there are true believers present. Those that are just members of the church, because you have been baptized and went through confirmation and you've joined the church, and so that leaves you and gives you all the opportunities that that church has to offer, is also an offering that sends you straight to hell because they do not preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They do not believe that you have an opportunity, and so they will fall under the Revelation 3:16. I hope that you fall under the John chapter 3:16. We have the lost spewed out. We have the saved gathered out. The rapture takes place during the end of the third chapter of Revelation. Chapter 4 opens with the words, "after these things." Chapter 5 shows us the one that's able to open the seals. And now in chapter 6, we begin this prophecy. There are three different series of judgment. We're going to see seven seals, seven trumpets, and then the vials of the wrath of God. That's what's to come. That's what's to come. One of the radio stations were in Matthew. It's, of course, that December 25th is the day that Jesus was born. I mean, we all know that without question. We know that that's not necessarily right. But when it comes to the radio, I am 1 week off from having the program we run for Christmas. So the people that listen to 1440 and Quincy are going to think, "I've just heard that," because we're running that, because I'm 1 week ahead of when that program should run. So they're going to hear two times where Jesus is born and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. We need to come and understand the Word of God. We need to understand the true church. And we look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that the date that has been chosen and decided is not necessarily the day or the date. But what's important is our Lord and Savior is virgin born. That's what's important. He's come to earth in the flesh, and he will return again to take his church home. Now, when he comes to rapture the church, he's not going to come all the way to this earth. We're going to meet him in the air. But there's going to be a time after the seven-year tribulation, at the close of the 7 years, he is going to come. He's going to plant his feet back down this earth. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. What a joy. So there's a gathering of the church, the rapture. And then there's a time when he comes with his church. And that time period is what we call the tribulation period, the 7 years. And we're about to open the seal here in verse 1 of chapter 6. This is Daniel's 70th week of prophecy, a period of 7 years. The judgments that I mentioned do not take place simultaneously. They take place individually, and so one at a time. First half of the 3.5 years, the 7 years, is going to seem to be mild. The last 3.5 years will be the most wicked, suffering time that has ever been experienced on this earth or ever will be experienced again. During that last 3.5 years. You know, it's kind of like if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, demons can't possess you. Demons can't rule you. Demons can't, because they will be cast out and the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. What a joy and what a confirmation not to have the thought that we could be possessed with demons. And so when we understand that and we look at that, well, it's also the joy that because I am born again, I do not have to face this tribulation period. I have the opportunity and the wonderful joy of meeting my Lord and Savior in the air before this starts. What a joy that's going to be. Some people are mid-tribulationists. They believe we're going to go halfway through. There are scriptures that I can see where they're looking at that. I believe that the Lord is going to keep us out of all the wrath of God. And so I believe that we are pre-tribulationist. I hope that you agree. I hope that you understand that we will be taken out before any of this starts, because even the mild part of the 3.5 years is a very wicked time. So we need to see and understand that. There is judgments that lay underneath these seals as they are open, and there is quite an area that this is going to cover. The trumpets, as they are opened up, are going to be more severe, but it's a shorter period of time. Take note that the Lamb of God opens the seals. The angels are connected with the trumpets, and Jehovah God is connected with the vials. So we have three stages there. Now back to I saw and I heard. John knows. John sees. And we have in this first verse of chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb slain, the one that you can see the scars from the terrible beating and crucifixion. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And so that brought John to light, and he brought him over to witness this again. This is not the first time that we hear these words, come and see, come and see. And he heard as well. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Oh, this must be the Lord Jesus. White horse? Conquer and conquering must be Jesus. If your thought is that direction, I hope to change it. Why would anyone be on that white horse? And why would he come in the words of conquer and conquering? Because the devil himself is a liar. The devil himself is counterfeit. The devil himself does everything. Why do you think that this country is full of churches that's going to be spewed out? He doesn't mind that you go to church. He doesn't mind that you sit in the pew and sing the hymns. He doesn't mind that you work and work and give your monies to support that work that's there. He doesn't mind that at all, as long as it's not truth. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's counterfeit. This mighty horse, this white horse, is a mighty war horse. But it is not the same that Jesus is going to come on in chapter 19, verse 11. This rider is none other than the man of sin, the devil in the flesh, the Antichrist. Anti means opposite. Opposite. Anti. The liar rides a white horse, counterfeit. He does everything he can to deceive folks. Everything. John has his undivided attention here. And he tells us what he's seeing. The white horse is always a symbol of victory. Some call it the a Cold War. This writer comes to subdue the 10 nations that were revived of the Roman Empire. And he does it without bloodshed. Would almost seem he's a peacemaker. Almost think he's a politician, a diplomat. There, that's what I was coming up for. As we look at what is taking place here, read it carefully, because there's something missing. I don't deer hunt. I'm glad there's folks that do, because they sure eat a lot of our crops. But I'm glad they do. Some of them bow hunt. Some of them, shotgun here in Illinois. They enjoy that. Over in Missouri, while you can use high-power rifle, you can sit in your living room and get a deer in Missouri. But in Illinois, you got to be close. But, I've never seen a deer hunter that loves to bow hunt that forgets to take his arrows. Now, granted, if you were to give me a bow, I could hit a deer just as well without an arrow as I could with an arrow. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. Doesn't it seem strange that here comes this person appears to be on this white horse? Horse of victory? He coming to conquer, and conquering? So there's victory there? And yet he doesn't have an arrow in his bow. He's going to be a fast talker. He's going to take care of this without taking one shot, so to speak. That's the beginning. That's the beginning as he comes in so smooth to destroy. His life, his work is all about complete destruction, and that's what he wants. But he's willing to come in under the side of something good, only to bring destruction. That is the white horse. And we're going to spend some more time next week, and the next couple of weeks we'll be enjoying the Christmas message. And then again, the 23rd will be the Christmas program. So it's going to be a couple of weeks here before we get back to this. And so don't lose track of where we're located here. We've got a bow without an arrow, and we haven't dealt with the crown yet. So we're going to talk about that next time we're together. So don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity. Bow with no arrow. This time of seeming peace that's coming the first 3.5 years is going to deceive many. But as you'll notice, we have a red horse, we have a black horse, and we have a pale horse to come. So don't miss those. Please. A lot of people kind of come and they love to study the book of Revelation because, you can just kind of use your imagination on what some of these beasts look like and some of these things look like. We're not here to use our imagination to think. The only thing that we can enjoy in using our thoughts and our imagination is that glorious throne of God, where our Lord and Savior sits with God the Father. What a picture. What a picture. purpose of Revelation is to show those that reject Christ what they're going to have. And if you don't know Jesus, and with the changes in weather and everything we have, he could come any time. And if you don't know Jesus, you're going to walk right into this. And I'm one of those that believe if you've heard the gospel before the tribulation starts, there's no salvation for you during the tribulation. No way out. Suffering all of it. Please come to Jesus today. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can enjoy this time. We ask that you just, it's not words that I proclaim. Father, you can take those words and your Spirit can apply those words to the hearts of all that are here, saved and lost alike. And that's what I ask, because I know the words that I speak are just nothing without the power of the Spirit. It's your precious word. We speak it. We ask, Father, that the words that were spoken are true. We ask that you've led us and guide us down through the truth, and then bring it right into the depths of our hearts, that we may listen and respond to you. Please, dear Father, just touch every heart. Those that are here that have chosen not to trust in you, that today would be the day of salvation. Please, please, dear Lord, just convict their heart. Just bring it down in such a way that they have to make a decision. You don't force anybody to come and to walk and to possess the joy and the wisdom and all the precious gifts, not to mention eternal life, but all the wonderful gifts that you give us here. But he will not force us. He wants us to come. He wants us to serve because of the love we have for you. Now please, just speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.